Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
No life-threatening injuries in Tuesday crash. Odessa Police and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to a major crash Tuesday in the 9300 block of North Highway 385. Investigation revealed that a Ford F-150 operated by Fernando Garcia of Odessa was traveling north on Highway 385. A silver Jeep being operated by Natalie Orejel was stopped facing west attempting to turn south on 385. Orejel failed to yield right-of-way, causing the Ford to strike the Jeep. Orejel and three children inside the vehicle were transported to MCH. One of the children, age 3, was care-flighted to Lubbock, a press release said. At the time of the release, there are no life-threatening injuries. The investigation continues. Texas House approves ban on COVID-19 vaccine mandates by private employers. After several attempts by Republicans to rein in COVID-19 vaccine mandates by Texas employers, lawmakers are edging closer to a statewide ban on the practice after legislation won House approval Wednesday. Violators would be subject to a whopping $50,000 fine under an amendment adopted Wednesday by the Texas House. The bill's sponsor called it the strongest such ban in the country. The bill is not about infringing on employers' ability to protect their employees in the workplace, and this bill is not about what vaccines are good or bad or what vaccines someone should or should not take, said State Representative Jeff Leach, Republican, Plano, the bill's House sponsor. This bill is instead about who should decide. The Texas House gave preliminary approval to Senate Bill 7 on a 90-57 vote, with all Republicans in favor and most Democrats opposed. After a passionate debate on the merits and safety of the vaccine, the impact of employer mandates on Texas workers, the rights of private business owners versus private individuals, whether to allow stronger exceptions for hospitals and doctors, and the bill's impact on medically vulnerable populations, the Texas Senate passed the legislation authored by State Representative Mays Middleton, Republican, Galveston, last week. And the bill will go to a conference committee to work out changes made by the House. Abbott included the ban in his agenda for the special legislative session, which could last up to 2 more weeks. SB 7 would ban private businesses from requiring employees and contractors to get the COVID vaccine. Health care facilities would be allowed to require unvaccinated employees and contractors to wear protective gear, such as masks, or enable other reasonable measures to protect medically vulnerable patients. The same allowances could also be true for other private employers under the bill. Lawmakers on both sides of the debate said, although it's not as clearly laid out for that group, the legislation only prohibits actions taken against an unvaccinated employee that the Texas Workforce Commission considers to be punishing or otherwise adversely affects the employee. Enforcement would be handled through employee complaints to the commission, with violators subject to a fine of $50,000 in the House version or anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 in the Senate bill, and potential lawsuits by the Texas Attorney General to prevent further violations. The commission also has the power to refer cases to district courts for criminal action and could also do so under this legislation, although the bill does not create any new crimes or grounds for lawsuits. House supporters said the bill was needed to protect the rights of individuals to make their own health care decisions without negative consequences to their livelihoods. They also extended the bill's protections to nursing and medical students who would work in those facilities but not be considered employees. I believe very strongly that that decision as to whether to get immunization should be a very personal decision in conjunction with someone's doctor and informed by medical expertise, informed by deeply held personal values, Leach said. This bill protects employees' rights to not be vaccinated and maintain their ability to work and apply for jobs. Opponents argue that the ban would handcuff the ability of healthcare professionals to impose vaccine policies that lower the risk of viral spread for their patients. Supporters batted away attempts by Democrats to exclude healthcare and child care facilities from the ban. This is about protecting your most vulnerable constituents, your most vulnerable family and friends, said State Representative Chris Turner, Democrat, Arlington, a public relations consultant whose clients include hospitals. Some critics said the bill would also infringe on the rights of business owners to make their own policy decisions. Some lawmakers also said they were concerned that business owners could be subject to expensive legal and administrative costs for trying to enable other measures to protect their employees. The bill is vague on what those parameters might be. Representative Rafael Anchia, a Dallas Democrat who runs a real estate investment firm, sought to amend the bill to include a list of what private employers would be allowed to do in lieu of a vaccine mandate, such as requiring unvaccinated employees to work from home, change offices, or wear personal protective gear. Employers are going to have to react to it and come up with interventions for their employees to keep them safe while at the same time following the tenets of this bill, Anchia said. It's important that we give them clear guidelines. Leach said employers would likely be able to require unvaccinated employees to wear protective gear, much like healthcare institutions are allowed to do under the bill. But he declined to list specific measures that ultimately would be allowed. Leach said it wasn't up to lawmakers to draw those lines, adding that the Workforce Commission would judge each case separately. Employers can still protect their employees, he said. Someone should not be fired for deciding not to take the vaccine, and Chia's amendment failed. Texans live for 3 years under a statewide COVID-19 emergency declaration, which Abbott maintained in spite of pushback from his party. He promised to lift it only after lawmakers had codified his executive orders that prohibited local COVID restrictions. During the regular session, lawmakers obliged by prohibiting local governments from requiring masks, vaccines, or business shutdowns in response to COVID-19. That law went into effect September 1st. Efforts to extend that ban to private businesses, however, fell short. Abbott ended the emergency declaration over the summer with the bill supporters say triggered a critical need to protect workers who did not want to be vaccinated against the virus. Summer GOP drama. The issue triggered a highly personal and extremely bitter battle among House Republicans on social media in late August. Midlothian Republican State Representative Brian Harrison publicly slammed House Calendar's Committee Chair Dustin Burroughs, Republican Lubbock, and House Speaker Dade Phelan, a Beaumont Republican, for allowing his bill banning all vaccine mandates to die without a floor vote during the regular session in May. Harrison continued his drumbeat the day before floor debate on the bill, which he did not co-sponsor. While hashtag TexLedge House leadership has protected hashtag COVID vaccine mandates for over 3 years, the Texas Senate has repeatedly passed bills to ban them, he wrote on social media. Harrison said Harrison was chief of staff for the U.S. Health and Human Services Commission, under then-President Donald Trump during Operation Warp Speed to accelerate the development and distribution of a COVID vaccine amid lockdowns at the start of the pandemic. Burroughs hit back hard with a series of posts calling Harrison a show pony who now pretends to care and a bureaucrat who spent his time in D.C. overseeing the shutting down of small businesses and ruining families' lives. Dr. Anthony Fauci and Harrison lied, and people died, Burroughs said. He didn't care enough to get out of his desk and try to get his bill passed. He just sounds like he cares on Twitter. Leach, the sponsor of vaccine legislation that passed the House on Wednesday, joined the fray. Brian, you were the self-described chief architect of the unconstitutional COVID regime that robbed millions of Americans of their rights, freedoms, and livelihoods, Leach wrote on X. You can do all the TV interviews you want, but until you come clean and own the damage and destruction many of your policies caused to hardworking Americans, you cannot, will not, and should not expect those hardworking Americans to trust you. The battle drew in several Republicans at a time when the House GOP was already split over the impeachment of Attorney General Ken Paxton, with Harrison's allies calling Burroughs and others Republicans in name only for attempting to remove Paxton over the corruption allegations. Paxton was eventually acquitted in the Senate and returned to office, escalating the tensions between the factions. Harrison tried several times Wednesday to change the bill, and Leach at one point accused Harrison of trying to kill the bill with one of his amendments. The two traded indirect barbs during the debate, but the warring Republicans eventually voted together to pass the legislation. Texans value freedom and liberty, and I truly believe you cannot have freedom without this, said Harrison, who voted for the bill. Lugar votes to elect Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, released a statement Wednesday following the election of Representative Mike Johnson, Louisiana 04, to Speaker of the House of Representatives. Mike Johnson is a constitutional lawyer and one of the strongest conservatives in Congress who has devoted his life and career to fighting for fundamental freedoms and traditional values, the right to life, Second Amendment, free speech, and religious liberty. He is also leading the charge to hold President Biden accountable on the Judiciary Committee and supporting our troops on the House Armed Services Committee. He will make a wonderful Speaker of the House, and I am proud to support him, Pfluger said. This process of electing a new Speaker has been arduous, but I have remained hard at work. Republicans are unified around Mike Johnson and will continue working diligently to secure our border, restore energy independence, and fix our economy. OPD investigating theft. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a theft that occurred September 29th at the Lowe's Home Improvement located at 4101 East 42nd Street. Investigation revealed that two unknown males stole approximately $429 worth of merchandise. Anyone who recognizes the suspects or suspects' vehicles shown in the surveillance footage is encouraged to contact Detective M. Troglin at 432-284-2012 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23-0012004.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. Midland Health. What health literacy means. Midland Memorial Hospital is excited to recognize that October is Health Literacy Awareness Month. At MMH, we have a team of patient education coordinators who focus on improving patient education for all patients and our community. The patient education team of coordinators works under the guidance of the Centers for Advancing Professional Excellence, CAPE, within the hospital. Midland Memorial Hospital is leading in improving health literacy with its team of nurses focused on improving patient education, health literacy, and patient equity. MMH is dedicated to improving health literacy for all patients. Understanding the importance, we have dedicated our team to some new and exciting additions to assist in our goal to further patient education for all our patients and our community right here in Midland. October is not only a month for candy, costumes, and spooky costumes, but also for education and looking toward the future. As we begin our new fiscal year in October, we are looking at the changes we have made toward one of the most impactful social determinants of health, our patients' health literacy. Health literacy continues to be a Healthy People 2030 priority area. Within the hospital, as well as in our community, MMH is stepping up our efforts to reach out and increase the health literacy of all the community members of Midland County and their surrounding areas because we understand that health literacy is one of the keys to improving the health and well-being of all people. Our new video application and discharge information system provides over 750 videos in English and Spanish, creating an inclusive educational experience that our patients can view while in the hospital and at home in their preferred language with our signature QR code discharge video feature. Every inpatient receives yellow and blue discharge folders printed in Spanish and English before going home. Embedded healthcare technology assists patients in reaching their patient portal after discharge, ensuring a continuum of patient education. Removing barriers to improving health literacy is a way to ensure patients and their family members feel confident about the information, care, and education provided to them while in our hospital. We hope to empower our patients to partner with us as their health care providers to start their journey to wellness. Learning and managing illness effectively together. Health literacy is a monster in scope, and if allowed to loom, can seem like a haunted house too scary to enter. Knowing that health literacy can and will challenge our multidisciplinary team at every turn has made our first wins and future wins better than getting that king-size candy bar from the best house on the block on Halloween night. We understand that health literacy is about mutual understanding. We are working with staff right here in the hospital, nurses at the caregivers, the public, and or anyone on the receiving end of health communication, and providers, clinicians, nurses, public health specialists, organizations, and others on the giving end of this communication. Genuinely understand each other. As an organization, we are committed to raising awareness about health literacy, teaching strategies to help, and sharing stories about why this matters. Please join with the staff at Midland Memorial Hospital during October and celebrate Health Literacy Awareness Month. Texas Oncology. Early detection of breast cancer saves lives. Quote, I had no idea it was there. I never felt anything, end quote. Contrary to popular belief, many women are diagnosed with breast cancer without actually feeling a lump, and it's not until screening breast imaging when they find out about their cancer. Those are the stories I hear in my clinic that lets me know breast cancer screening works. At its most recent update, the United States Preventive Task Force, USPSTF, lowered the recommended age at which women should start breast cancer screening from 50 to 40 years old. Certain high-risk women based on race and/or history of hereditary breast cancer may even be considered for screening earlier than age 40. Unfortunately, I've seen breast cancer strike young women in West Texas, and these updated guidelines help physicians identify breast cancer sooner. Nowadays, with a variety of imaging modalities, including 3D mammogram, ultrasound, and breast MRI, we are detecting breast cancer more effectively than ever before. According to the American Cancer Society, the five-year survival for localized breast cancer, the cancer is confined to the breast and has not spread, is 99%. Once the cancer is spread to nearby lymph nodes, that number drops to 85%, and if it spreads to other distant organs such as the lung, liver, or brain, it plummets to around 30%. Also, though uncommon, men can get breast cancer as well. While there are no particular breast screening guidelines for normal risk men, any self-palpated lump or mass in the chest should not be ignored in men. We can all universally agree that cancer sucks and it turns people's lives upside down. It's estimated there will be nearly 300,000 new cases of breast cancer diagnosed in women in 2023. Despite the tremendous strides and advances we've made in breast cancer care, it's the second leading cause of cancer death in women. No one ever plans on getting cancer, but the sooner it's detected, the better your odds are of surviving and not needing aggressive measures such as chemotherapy or extensive surgery. As an oncologist, my favorite clinic visits are the ones where cancer is the least of our worries, and we end up talking about travel, trying to decrypt the bipolar Midland weather, or discussing the cowboy season. Well, maybe not that one so much lately. Talk with your family care physician about when breast cancer screening is appropriate for you. As we like to say, when it comes to cancer, early detection saves lives. Skipping sleep. Sleeping less than 5 hours can raise a risk of depression. Short sleepers, those who regularly get five or fewer hours of sleep at night, may be at a higher risk of developing depression symptoms, according to a study published Thursday. Researchers examined the health data of 7,146 individuals, age 50 and older in England, and found that older adults who sleep five or fewer hours a night, either because of a genetic predisposition or other reasons, were more likely to show signs of depression years later. The researchers followed the study participants for an average of 8 years. The findings. Compared with people who sleep 7 hours a night, older adults who reported five or fewer hours on average were 2.5 times more likely to develop symptoms of depression later in life. Those who were genetically predisposed to short sleep were 14% more likely to develop symptoms of depression years later in life. Too much sleep was a problem, too. Older adults who reported sleeping more than 9 hours of sleep were 1.5 times more likely to develop symptoms of depression later in life, as compared with those who slept an average of 7 hours. Depression also was more likely to lead to worse sleep. People with symptoms of depression were approximately 33% more likely to sleep for five or fewer hours a night. The study, based on data from the English Longitudinal Study of Aging, found an association and not a causation between shorter sleep and symptoms of depression, said Odessa Hamilton, the lead author of the study and a doctoral researcher in biobehavioral epidemiology and precision medicine at the University College London. The study was published in Translational Psychology. Background. Sleeping for too many or too few hours at night has been seen as a sign of depression, Hamilton said, and some studies show that depression is often associated with problem sleeping.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 26. Secrets infidelity loom over parents. Dear Abby, I am 26 and have been with my boyfriend, Trey, for 8 years. We have an 18-month-old son. When I was 6 months pregnant, I went through Trey's phone and saw he was cheating on me. I was humiliated and told my best friend because I couldn't keep it in any longer. It hurt me deeply. I chose to forgive Trey because we were starting a family, and I felt I owed it to my baby to at least try. But I constantly think about the things I saw on his phone, and I don't trust him. If I even think about him going out somewhere without me, I feel terribly anxious. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a saint throughout our relationship, but when I got pregnant, I was all about Trey and our family. I love him, but I can't seem to be happy. We are polar opposites. I'm affectionate and love my family. He's dry and doesn't care for my family or his. I also feel we resent each other. Sometimes I want to break up with him so I can find someone I can trust and have peace with, but then I feel guilty. Our son is a daddy's boy. He loves Trey and is always asking for Daddy when his father is out or at work. It would break my heart for my son not to see him as often as he does with us living together. My parents were never together, and I always said if I had a child, I'd make sure that child had their mom and dad together. But I'm not happy with my relationship. Please give me some advice. Signed, Failing in New Jersey. Dear Failing, talk to Trey. Tell him how you feel and why. Has he continued to see other women? How does he feel about the status of your relationship? How important is it to him to be front and center in his son's life? The two of you are not married, thank heavens, so separating would not be complicated or costly from a legal perspective. Of course, he would have to support his child financially, and so would you. You both deserve to be happy, and don't be surprised if you learn that Trey feels the same way about your relationship. Dear Abby, I have a daughter and two granddaughters, ages 16 and 24. I live with my daughter, her boyfriend, and my youngest granddaughter. My daughter and my oldest granddaughter got into a heated argument over the phone about something the boyfriend posted on social media. They are no longer speaking and have blocked each other's phone calls. I feel lost. We used to all three spend one Saturday a month together, go on vacations, and have family dinners on holidays. How do I get over this? Signed, Missing It in Maryland. Dear Missing It, a way to get past this would be to extend your social life beyond your immediate family. If you do, you will have more distraction and less time to brood about something that you cannot control. You can still see your older granddaughter separately if you wish, just not under the same circumstances as before, until this blows over.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.